You're listening to Cinema Red Pill. I'm Sharon.
I'm Timothy.
And I'm Joel.
Original crew back together again for the first time in a minute. And in this episode, we will be pairing two films. The Zone of Interest and Killers of the Flower Moon. I'll use Joel's words where you said there. Movies about showcasing monsters. They're a perfect combo, and we haven't done a combo in a minute. Anyway, so yeah, we're talking about these. They were quite nominated for the recent Academy Awards. Zone of Interest won two. It won for sound and for best foreign film. They have a different way they title it these days, like not foreign language, like
international film.
Yeah, it won for that. Scorsese's was nominated 10 times but won nothing.
Have you seen those memes of how Billie Eilish has more Oscars than Scorsese? So that's just funny.
It is quite ridiculous though.
Yeah,
we're going to talk about The Zone of Interest first. I'll introduce the film in not too much detail really, but an explanation. I don't know, I'm going to assume maybe a couple of people may listen to this when they've not watched it, so I kind of want to give the premise a proper intro, and also just in case of that, and also like really alert that we are doing spoilers. Like if you haven't watched the film, we're going to really talk about it in detail. It's also not a spoilery type of film. But anyway, The Zone of Interest is a film made by Jonathan Glazer. He's an English director. This is his fourth film. And it's a film. One interesting detail which I want to point out early is Jonathan Glazer is British, but the film is in German language, and he does not know German. So it's really interesting that he made an entire film in a language he doesn't know. But the film is about Rudolf Hess, the commandant of Auschwitz concentration camp, and his wife Hedwig. For additional context, just in case someone doesn't know, the Auschwitz concentration camps were in Poland, and a section of them of Poland that was in occupation by the Germans at the time. And in those camps, the Nazis murdered over 1 million Jewish people. The Zone of Interest is short. Strangely, it's shot like almost a documentary type situation, and we watch Rudolf Hess and his wife go through very domestic routines, like they garden a lot, swim, celebrate birthdays, and all this is happening over a very high wall, and on the other side there's the Auschwitz concentration camp. Throughout the film we are also hearing really, really haunting sounds of what's happening in the camps. There'll be a lot of sounds of screams. There'll be smoke burning and gunshots. Really, the sound is such a great big part of the film. Yeah. And in addition to that, also, the film cuts away to infrared shots of a Polish girl who goes around the camp areas and keeps leaving apples behind for the prisoners to find. Yeah. I think that's a really broad explanation. Do you guys feel happy with it?
Yeah, you've covered way more than I thought could be covered in one description.
Yeah, I think that's quite detailed enough.
The only other intro I'd want to add, some technical tidbits that I find really interesting, which I think we'll talk about more, is the film was shot with 10 cameras, and the cameras were placed all around the house, so the actors are really just moving around, and like there was not much cutting or anything. It was really shot in a documentary type way. And I already said the thing, he didn't speak German, and the sounds are such a big part of the film. And if you ever like any interviews with the sound directors, is really quite interesting, and they talk about their process of recording these sounds for like a year and a half and trying to make an effort to actually find those sounds in action. yeah, it's quite fascinating. But yeah, let's talk about the film. I've already been talking a lot, so I don't know. Timothy, you want to start?
Maybe Joel can start. Maybe Joel start us off, because...
I like Timothy starting because you like to hide behind. You'll say, you've said everything I wanted to hear. No, Timothy, you start. You do that. No.
Okay, you got me. Okay. Maybe I think I'll start talking about the zone of interest, maybe from a story and character's point of view. Yeah, though you've again also mentioned there's some aspects of it stylistically that I think we'll get to. But as you said, yeah, the story is based on a real life character who was like a commander in the Nazi army, Rudolf Hoss. It tells the story of basically his family life. And I mean, it's quite interesting because a lot of times when you see stories about Nazis, Nazi Germany especially, like, it's usually very, I would say, of course, they pay a lot of attention to, like, you know, the uniforms and, like, them being these very hardened, evil people who are, like, almost to the point of caricature. They're not, like, real human beings. So in a way, I kind of like how this film kind of tried to, like, in a way, humanize. I know it's hard to, like, humanize people who dehumanized other people for a living. But yeah, like, it tries to, in a way, show that, you know, people who are evil and do these kinds of things, they are pretty much just like, you know, you and me. Like, they're not that different. They're not from another planet. So yeah, that's one thing I really did enjoy about the film. And again, as you said, it's set in Germany, and the whole story happens in German. So I feel there was also like an authenticity to the story. It felt like it was very much from that, like it was actually happening in that time period. And again, you said it was shot almost like a documentary. So the style of life element really comes out, and I mean the slice of life element really comes out. And yeah, I think for me the most important thing I saw story wise from this film was, yeah, just how it was less of caricaturizing the characters and more like just trying to like show what their day-to-day lives were like, especially just living next door to a concentration camp where like atrocities were being committed. So yeah, that's maybe my initial observation.
Timothy, just one thing, that not to clock you again, but you've given a very intellectual response. How did you feel about the movie? Like
because I was probably going to give that more like as a review at the end for how I felt about the movie in general.
I want to know now.
But,
I think let's...
Yeah, but I mean, personally, for me, like, of the two movies we're going to discuss today, like, A Zone of Interest and Killers of the Flower Moon, I preferred Killers of the Flower Moon. I know they are both dealing with heavy material, but I personally found Killers of the Flower Moon more entertaining. I know the purpose for Zone of Interest was not supposed to be entertaining per se, like a roller coaster of emotions, but for what it is, trying to humanize the characters, I kind of understood it from that aspect. I can't say that, oh, it was like a movie that had a lot of high points in terms of like, you know, thrills or chases or even laughs or even, I would say, like romance or comedy moments. So it's something that, it's a movie that's very, as I said, slice of life. It's like just showing you, like, just basically plucking these characters from a point in time and just kind of showing you how their lives were. And I feel like it's very hard to give a very definite like opinion on how I felt about it. If I say like I liked it, perhaps I didn't like it in the way I would like other movies that I would claim to like. And I can't say also it's boring and without any merit, because yeah, I can actually see what the director was trying to do. So yeah, I would say that's my take on it.
Great. Okay, Joel, please let us know your thoughts.
Sharon, you're way too excited for people's thoughts on this movie.
What do you mean I'm way too excited? I'm I'm upbeat, but you'll hear my response. You go with my response is not going to be as upbeat as you're hearing me. I just was amused at clocking Timothy.
Because, yeah, and I understand you, Tim. This is not a movie anyone is supposed to enjoy. I think with side eye, if you're like, oh, I enjoyed watching that movie. But, So, the story was very unexpected for me. I think Sharon, when you had mentioned it, like you mentioned, like, oh, there's like a lot of weird controversy around the movie. And I think I just saw like a few headlines as I was like looking for it. And I was like, oh, wow, that's going to be interesting. The perspective of having like Nazis, and not just any Nazis, like the concentration camp Nazis, like an Auschwitz command, like that was... That was mad. So after getting over that initial alarm of like, okay, this is what we're settling in to see, I was honestly blown away by like the approach to it. Like that wall, that fence that the family builds up, that the Hoss family like builds up to like cover up the concentration camp in the background. The way they use the sound to tell you what is happening back there. And the fact that the story is more or less just about this horse guy trying to get like a promotion or get like the recognition he feels he deserves. The wife is pretty much concerned with social climbing and throwing these garden parties and showing off her affluence to her mother. I remember this scene that I think really stayed with me from the movie in particular is when Hedwig and her mother she's like showing the mother the garden, and they're hearing all these shots and stuff going off, like Jews are being killed in the background. And she's saying, oh, I think my former neighbor is like back there. And then it's talking about like how they were bidding on the neighbor's curtains after she was captured. Just the flippant nature with which they talked about it, I'd say I appreciated what the movie was trying to accomplish. And I was really trying to put myself in the frame of mind of like who the target audience possibly is for the story. And if it's for like the descendants of like the Germans that were involved in things like this, because it's really easy, like Tim said, to like write off Nazis as like this caricature, like just these bad guys, like this axis of evil that we can never relate to, like it's just inhumane, they're demons, none of us could ever do anything like that. I love that the story showed us how easily any of us could turn a blind eye to like any of this sadistic stuff with enough justification. And it even got me thinking about like Western politics even today, with like all the things that happen, that have happened in the Middle East, and like how many bodies have piled up there. This to me was more or less like the same thing, like build up a wall of like entertainment and several distractions, and you can justify pretty much anything. So I appreciated the movie for digging into this deep, dark place, like the human psyche and the apathy of it. And I love like this motif they used of like the sickness. I think first it was displayed in the grandmother and then within Horse as well. As like the story progressed, I just loved how, you know, he gets this big promotion and this big recognition at a party, and he's throwing up on the steps. That's not an ending I could envision for this movie, but it felt perfect for like what the director was trying to show. I honestly appreciated. So I'm using the word appreciated. You can't say you loved, but I appreciated what how the director executed this, and that he was able to take me on that journey and keep me in this uncomfortable place for that long. And yeah, I will forever be haunted by those gunshots ringing and these kids playing gas chamber in the garden. Oh my god.
Yeah.
But, Yeah, those are my thoughts on the story.
Good.
Okay. For me, yeah, similar to both of you, really. I watched the film and I don't know, I went in it. I've never watched any of the major Nazi films, to be honest. Schindler's List, I've not watched. There was Son of Saul that came out recently. I feel I be scared of it, really. That's quite honestly, I'd be quite afraid of seeing that kind of violence. So I had heard that this film is not about that kind of violence, so I was more open to watching it. And but the violence is so heavy, like it's a different kind of violence. I was left extremely disturbed. I even left the film not sure how I felt about it. I was just like, what the actual fuck? It was just too much. And it was not until after the film that I really looked into, like, I was seeing the smoke coming up. I'm like, oh God, don't tell me those are people burning. Yeah, and yet then you're like, yeah, those are people burning. It was a visceral experience for me, and I would never go through it ever again. But I also vividly remember the pitch black in the beginning, for that's where all my confusion began. At the very beginning, that pitch black for like a whole 2 minutes, I'm like, oh shit. And just the sounds, oh my God. So my experience with it was torture, and afterwards, yeah, all that. But I actually, I don't know, it wasn't until the chaos began that I began to really even pick more interest in that film, to be honest. Like, after I looked into what the filmmaker's intentions were, I looked into Auschwitz itself, looked into Horst as him being a real person, all those kinds of things, but not into like criticism of the film and the director and reading about him. It wasn't until the Oscar stuff happened that I was like, yeah. It was confusing to me that people actually had such polarizing experiences with the film. Like, it came obvious to me that this person obviously will feel this way about the current situation right now, but to see that people were that opposed in that way was crazy to me. And I also just realized that he was Jewish that same time when he won the award, that for him really saying that us as Jewish people, I didn't know. But yeah, so that became even more fascinated me about the film so much more. And it became like a fascinating thing, and now just like a rabbit hole for me, going into what his intentions were and where he reached this point. And it's been interesting to even hear how he has been morally conflicted the entire time. Like, the people in his family who also don't think he should have made the film this way. Because really, most people, when they, like, there's this thing, like, even the people say it on Twitter, retweets are endorsements. Depiction isn't endorsement. Sometimes you're depicting something that's completely wrong, but you're not endorsing it, really. And I think that's a bit tough for some people to get. But I didn't feel that way. I was just left too sad to process the thing. Then I start thinking of like, oh God. But then looking at the achievement of the film, the technicality of it was crazy. Yeah, that has been, and now I've now reached a place where now I'm overly reading negative criticism. Like, I want to know what the people who hated the film, why they hated it. And it's been quite a journey. But my intrigue with this film was first overly emotional, then it went hardcore technical. Like, oh, now let me understand the technicality of how this came to be. But I am the opposite of Timothy. I really, really prefer this to Killers of the Flower Moon. Like, because Killers of the Flower Moon really does not spare you on the depictions of the violence. Like, this one is a mental mashup, and I can stand that, but a full-on depiction like that was too hard for me to bear. So for me, I'm the opposite. I left Killers of the Flower Moon a different way from this one. I actually left it feeling the way some people feel about Zone of Interest. So I think these two films are very interesting to put together. But yeah, I don't know if you guys have additional thoughts. I wanted to ask you guys also about the ending. I think you talked a bit about it, but how did you interpret the ending with it juxtaposed with real life, with the Auschwitz Museum that currently exists?
I think before answering that question, like maybe the context, because yeah, you mentioned not having engaged with that many Nazi movies, like the prominent ones. But I have watched Schindler's List. I've also watched Judgment at Nuremberg, which is like a giant, like 4-hour Nazi film. But there's like the Nazis are on trial. In Schindler's List, you have this one German who is standing up to the system. So just from the little you've shared about why the film is very polarizing for some people, I feel like what those other movies did in the past is they had a very clear indictment of like what happened. There was also a very clear representation of like the pain that was inflicted on the victims. So I think yeah, for those people, it's like because that element is not pushed to the forefront as much, because I cannot say that it's missing either. Because like you, I could feel that discomfort of it. In fact, not seeing it almost made it worse. That we're just ignoring this giant thing in the background. It felt even more monstrous. Like, guys, what are we literally doing right now while people are being murdered like around the clock in the background? So I do get why those people were unable to get over it, especially if movies in the past have been very careful to show this kind of story a certain way. But I feel like what he did is equally relevant from like a human perspective, because if you think that you're incapable of that evil, that's how that evil like repeats itself again. It's like we all need to like look at like that deep dark part of ourselves, which this guy forced us to do for like 1 hour and 40 something minutes. And yeah, by the end, it's like you know that you could easily become this, and you know that it's a sickness essentially. And I think that's how I interpreted the ending. Just like circle back to your question. I felt like the character of Horst and the family, there's like this sickness that's slowly growing within them, and like the Nazis who are all participating in these atrocities, but just like they're ignoring what the atrocities they're committing in the background, they're ignoring this sickness within their souls, metaphorically, that's like growing within them. And it grows and grows and grows until it hits its peak when like Horst like achieves this big appreciation and promotion from like his people, that he literally just throws up from like the accumulation of like all the sickness. And I feel like the striking images after that of like all the shoes of like the Jews from Auschwitz that were like gassed, like I don't know if it was a museum or something, but so just like that silent scene like playing out right after it, for me I really interpreted it as like a sickness of humanity. And to hear that the director that made it is Jewish themselves, for me just adds to the strength of that perspective, because yeah, he's not limiting himself to just one narrative. He's trying to look at the whole picture and come to terms with what happened. Yeah.
Tim, before you say something, I wanted to add something. Let me first add something. There's what you say, like a thing though which I overlapped with more than even about humanity and how it can be any of us. I was really struck by the capitalist part of it and how like there was that board meeting with all of them, and then one of them is annoyed at Horst for killing too many people because they'd rather they were labor. Like, and then even looking at Horst himself, I'm like, Horst is doing a job. Like, at some point, he can compartmentalize this thing of it's just work and I'm achieving and I'm growing. And so often people just, like, that's so easy to fall in. Like, the number of people will enter the army without really any intention of hating whatever the other side they're fighting is, but just because it's, you need money to exist. I don't know. That fact left me more haunted than than other factors like that. But Tim, please say something.
So just to maybe also get to what you had asked about what I thought about the ending. Just mine maybe is like a little bit different from Joel, but yeah, I think it was more because, as I said, the movie is trying to, in a way, humanize this character who was like a commander in the Nazi army who was basically running Auschwitz. And pretty much throughout the movie, like, you see him almost move through it like a robot. And yeah, he's basically following orders, doing his job for the, you know, the military system and all that. And it's only at the end where we kind of see him like almost like throw up, which kind of shows that, in, I think it was just trying to show that in a way, like, in spite of him doing all this, he still has a conscience, even if he has to bury it deep down somewhere for him to get through this. And I think it was the same thing with like a lot of maybe other Nazis, where yes, they could have been 100% convinced with like Hitler's ideology and all that stuff and were following him, but I'm sure like maybe when they laid down at night and like they thought about the people they killed and all that, like, I'm sure there were like feelings that were unresolved down there that they probably also had to come to terms with. So that's kind of how I saw it. It was like a very nice touch, trying to show that yeah, in spite of whoever he is rising up the ranks, doing what the Nazis need him to do, deep down inside there, there might be a human who also thinks that all this is doing is terrible. And yeah, like, about the controversy, just to go back to what you were saying earlier, I mean, like, this movie came out in May. Was it May or something? That was before, just to, like, actually talk about the thing, before the whole October 7th stuff happened in Israel, that sort of, like, the Israel-Palestine war. And, like, way before, and, like, I also don't think we're 20... Yeah, he made it... I saw he began doing the research in 2014. So I think it is interesting that he was probably making a film about, you know, Rudolf Hess, and just trying to show how, from my reading, maybe his initial intention was just trying to show how detached everyday people can be from like the evil they commit in the world. And because of what has happened and what we're going through in the world now, like, it's just such like a perfect metaphor. And the fact that also he's Jewish, and again, these atrocities being done to Jewish people, and they're also being, especially the people in Israel who basically have also like what is called the world's largest concentration camp just right next to them there, and all this occupied land. I think it was one of those situations where, like, you know, art and the times just kind of meshed together, and, you know, kind of it gave it even more meaning. And I think more people are pissed off with the movie because of the Oscars speech. And I think a lot of the people who are pissed are like also like Israeli or Jewish people who are really pro-Israel. And like I think for them, they feel that their trauma is being hijacked, and like someone is like, so I think maybe that's where their beef comes from. But I think even before, when the movie came out, it had good reviews. It's been doing well the whole time. So, like, I don't know. I think the rage is more political, and I don't think it's directed at the film per se. But maybe there are people, yes, who do watch the film, and I know they can't deal with like the atrocities and all that being implied in the film. So they just maybe don't like it for that reason. But yeah, that's just what I thought.
I think another thing, a factor that I found even more striking, is that one of the producers who was standing with him on the stage was so against what he said. So that's someone who was, okay, although someone talked about how this is a money producer, like, not active in the thing, but this is someone who put money in the film, and then they also are feeling differently about what he said. Just any last words, anything you wanted to point out before we close out Zone of Interest?
Not really. I think I've said everything I probably had to say on the film. Yeah.
Joel?
Yeah, same.
Yeah, I think I've also said everything, really. Next, we'll be talking about Killers of the Flower Moon, Martin Scorsese's latest film, which is a three-hour epic. It stars Leonardo DiCaprio playing Ernest Burkhardt, who returns from World War One to stay with his uncle in the Osage Nation. The Osage Nation is where a Native American tribe is living, and on that land, oil is discovered and white people show up to exploit, of course. But yeah, Leonardo DiCaprio meets a woman called Molly, who's a native woman, played by Lily Gladstone. And oh, another thing is, yeah, it's important to remember this is also based on real life. These were real life events. It's based on the Osage murders. They meet and their relationship throughout the film. There's several deaths occurring among the Osage people. And us as the viewers, we can see that the deaths are being are happening because of Robert De Niro's character and Leonardo DiCaprio's character. Sorry, their names had gone from me. But after some time, what happens? Yeah, Molly keeps falling sick and she's being injected by her husband with medicine that's slowing her down. She's practically being drugged. And later in the film, an FBI agent shows up and investigates the incidents and uncovers that indeed Ernest and his uncle are behind it all. And in the end, also Molly confirms that her husband has been drugging her. And also an important part, the film ends with Martin Scorsese showing up himself in a sort of radio drama announcing the deaths and the aftermath of what happens after the murders. The book is based off a book called Killers of the Flower Moon, The Osage Murders and the Birth of the FBI. And it has been really talked about that the original script focused on the FBI agent character, but after he met with people from the Osage tribe, they changed their perspective and to focus more on Osage people. Leonardo DiCaprio was originally supposed to play the FBI agent, but then he switches up to play Ernest, Molly's husband. Yeah, that's it, really. That's my intro for the film. Let's get into it. Again, Timothy, sorry, but you're starting.
Yeah, so I definitely enjoyed this film. Of course, as we know, like of late, Scorsese has been in the habit of making these long movies. People complain about the running times. But I think of the ones I've watched recently, which have all, I think, been over 3 hours long, for me, this was the easiest watch of all of them. And I don't know if it was perhaps maybe because of the story. Maybe, yes, story-wise, it was a bit more interesting because like things like The Irishman was more of like, you know, the usual Scorsese gangster flick, whereas this one had a bit of a twist. It was set in a different time, and again, it was in a kind of different setting with different characters, with like the Osage Nation and these basically Americans who are trying to get in with them for their oil. So yeah, I enjoyed this film. In the film, of course, the lead is DiCaprio, who I think, yeah, he always, of course, I think his selection of scripts is impeccable. I don't think I've seen an interesting DiCaprio film. And I think this is one of his better characters of recent years. And yeah, where he's playing basically a war veteran who returns from World War One, and he's come to see his uncle. And yeah, basically his uncle is pimping out these American white men to these Osage women for marriage. And it was quite interesting to find out that, yeah, the Osage people, because you mentioned that they were the Osage Nation. The Osage Nation is the tribe, and I think the area where they are settled or where they have their reservation is Oklahoma, in like current United States. So just, I didn't know that culturally, like they were matrilineal, and like you had, like it was the women basically who inherited property and passed it on and all that stuff. So that was interesting. And in the story, it was interesting to see these white guys marrying these Osage women. And yeah, basically it was their way of grifting. And it was a very different kind of exploitation, where it was like, you know, a gigolo, like the two thing, like a rich sugar mommy kind of situation. It wasn't so much like, you know, the usual Western where it's like the white is riding and they just kill everyone there. This was like a very different, subtle kind of like manipulation. So I also enjoyed that aspect of it. But yeah, I mean, story-wise, seeing De Niro again play like a bad gangster character again, I think he's brilliant in those roles. And I think the most important thing from the film that I enjoyed was perhaps the arc DiCaprio's character goes through, where from the beginning he comes and he's almost like this very green character, and he kind of gets the smarts about what's happening in this gang and with the women and all that, and he kind of goes along with it, but to the end where he kind of comes to a point where, like, yeah, it's hanging too much on his conscience. And just to kind of see that evolution was, for me, the conflict that really kept, for me, the movie really going. I know there was terrible stuff happening and all these women being blown up, and like the part where you mentioned he's like drugging his wife, but just being on that roller coaster where like people are doing this terrible thing, and they kind of he comes to this point where he actually needs to just like snitch on everyone and everything, I think was the tension and the suspense that kept me going through the movie, because I was really dying to see how this would end. And again, just story-wise, I'd say it's also very interesting, because again, as far as stories with Native Americans go, like a lot of times it's like in a Western cowboy style where they are portrayed as savages and like they are being basically run out of town by cowboys and stuff like that. But this one, I think, was kind of like trying to show aspects of that culture in like a very also delicate way, which I think was a nice twist. I think it's been something that people have spoken about, like in Hollywood, like people, like black people talk about being represented very badly in like American media, but like for the Indians, there's basically nothing, to the point that I think she's like the first actress, Lily Gladstone, who's, oh, sorry, Native Americans, sorry, Native Americans, my goodness, yeah. But yeah, I think she's the first Native American actress, I think, or actor for that matter, ever nominated for an Oscar. And the fact that they've been on that land for so long and their history is tied with the history of the US for so long as well, and they don't get, you know, any kind of good representation and stuff like that, is just also interesting to see people doing these kinds of takes and it being done by someone like Scorsese. So
yeah, so I think the first thing for me, like aside from the movie, that was exciting is that Scorsese and De Niro are still collaborating up to now. It's like 50 years plus at this point of making movies together, which is insanity to me. Almost as old as Uganda itself. It's a Scorsese film. So I was definitely in for it from the word go. I shared some of, I forget who voiced those reservations, but my patience for long movies has really gone down in the recent years. So when I saw those 3 hours something minutes, I was like, those are actually 4 hours even. But I did really enjoy disappearing into the world. I feel like that world was solid. Scorsese's scripts I always enjoy. I do sort of appreciate like why you mentioned like liking Zone of Interest a little better in like its approach to story, because Scorsese is always going to be flashy. And it's amazing that he can also get away with it for complicated subject matter like these Osage murders. So as I was watching it, I discovered like the whole like, oh, these affluent Native Americans like with all this oil money back in 1800 something going into like early 1920s. I was like, what? Is this real? But I was like, let me watch a movie first. I'll look into those things after. So as a part of me, I think that was forgiving of some of the flashier vibes and like the gratuitous violence as well. Because I was like, you know, this might be a fictional like account, because I still couldn't wrap my head around how they got those rights like that far, like that long ago. So I'm just even more blown away that this really happened. But the story is very, very fascinating, like Tim was saying, how you essentially have a bunch of white gigolos like suckling all these Osage women for money. I love that the women were very aware of this as well. I forget, there's like this scene with Molly and her sisters where they're like throwing shade at their husbands in secret. I loved that scene so much. They're calling Leo a coyote and like saying, oh, your husband's like this. Like, I loved it. It was interesting seeing a matriarchal, sort of a matrilineal culture, and see women standing this strong, especially in that era, was just endlessly interesting for me to see. It really felt like an entirely different world. Robert De Niro's William Hale character was devious and dastardly in all the best ways. I love how he's manipulating Leo's character, Burkhart, was just a half-wit. He kept like bullying him into going along with so many things that he really didn't want to necessarily do. And I liked the morality really overall of the story, because you see Leo's character Ernest, yeah, that was his name. So you sort of see Ernest like do all these despicable things, like organize murders, drug his wife, organize for like, you know, his like the sister's deaths and stuff. And it was very fascinating to me to like wake up somewhere like in Act 2, Act 3, and discover that this character was still like seeing himself as a good guy in some way, and still being like, oh no, but like I actually love my wife, and there's this fantasy line that's not going to be crossed, like everyone else will be murdered except her and everything will just be fine. I really enjoyed that delusion on how murky it was and how honest was with his feelings in that way. It's such a complicated character. I can see why Leo like picked him, just like playing with that range of emotions. I do love that the villains got their comeuppance, because genuinely as I was watching it, I was just used to, like, the story of the white guy is going to win by the end of this, especially for the era. And how they set up that, you know, they're not going to really, there's not really going to be a nice, like a fair trial for like white people against Native Americans. But I love how the Native American community in the movie like galvanized and really sought out justice. I was surprised to see the FBI show up in the movie in, like, its original form, because again I was watching with no context at all of what was happening. And the actor playing the FBI agent, I forget his name, but I love seeing him pop up in movies. He's been such an unlikely talent for me. I don't know if you guys feel the same way. I've seen him like pop up in several like side character roles, like TV shows, movies, like slowly. This guy can throw down, like performance wise he really throws down, like physically he's like unassuming, so you don't expect certain things from him, but I really enjoyed the power of his performance in this, and He's definitely one of my favorite actors to watch now. I thought he played the agent like really, really well. And yeah, I do enjoy that Molly survived. I really thought she was dead. I did not see how she was leaving that situation. Especially when like De Niro's character visits her when she's alone. I was like, oh no, like it's over. Like it's just going to kill her right there. But I did appreciate like how the story turned out. I love that justice of some sort was served, even if it wasn't like complete. I was like satisfied with the ending and the murkiness of it. Seeing Scorsese step out at the end, like in that bad light. Was it a Bud Light or Lucky Strikes? Yeah, that Lucky Strikes,
yeah,
sponsored.
Lucky Strikes.
Yeah. sponsored. I loved it. I thought it was like a cute little throwback. How it's like, oh, now we're like in the 50s and we're like telling this this epic drama. I really liked seeing that play out. So yeah, 10 out of 10 points for style for Martin Scorsese as usual. 10 out of 10 on the performances. The cinematography is beautiful. Like the set pieces and amounts of elements like involved in all the filmmaking. Is that one shot like going over William Hill's ranch where like all the like horses, I don't know how many horses or cows, I think they're cows, but it was just gorgeous, just like the size of it. And I love that studios are still throwing Martin Scorsese money to do these indie stylish indie projects. So yeah, I really enjoyed the movie, definitely more than the previous one, only because I got to enjoy something a bit. But yeah, those are my overall thoughts on the movie. Really good time.
Okay. I was looking forward to this movie for sure, Scorsese, and it had such a good reception. I watched it in the cinema when it came out, 10 p.m. screening at that, quite late. Wait, was it? Quite late. Like, I remember getting out of the cinema extremely late. And, I really, really did not like this movie. I came out like, oh. At some point, I really felt like I was a hostage, like, the first death happens, the second death, the third death is like, there's more. And I really wished they would spare me, you know, like, you know, do the announcement. Do I need to see the full thing? I felt like I was, I reached a point where I was so uncomfortable in my seat and just eager for the film to end because I didn't find DiCaprio and Robert De Niro did a really good performance, really. But I didn't find the story of DiCaprio and De Niro enough to keep me like that. I was so, yeah, I was eager. I was so enthralled by Molly and her sisters. And it just even now pissed me off that I felt in 3 hours, they did not give me enough of them. I felt like they did not give me enough of Molly. I needed her to have as much of a through line as Leo did. Like, I wish they had allowed me to, for them to be more against each other. Like, I got too much Leo. I was so eager for Lily Gladstone in. And there's a long, like, over an hour when she's being drugged. And that's, she's still and quite dormant. Like, her inactivity, that was now, then it, by the end, I was really frustrated. Like, when she then is unveiling and we're getting, the boys are getting their comeuppance, I'm happy. I'm like, okay, now I'm going, I can't wait for more of her. But then the film ends, you know? So I then, by the end, I was so frustrated. I'm like, that's it? That's all you had to give me? I didn't feel like it was enough. Like, hearing, like, you guys like that, for me, it wasn't enough. I needed so much more, especially when you're serving me that much violence. I needed some more calm. Like, I needed some more of what she was bringing for me every time she would show up. So if I wonder if I'd had a bit more of that, or even if the film entirely focused on her and the Leos were maybe a secondary character more so. That maybe, but I can't know what would that film be like. What if it sucked? I don't know. But I just really left the film wanting so much more from her. My favorite performance was one of her sisters, the one who played the drunk one, who was constantly drunk. I fucking loved that character. She was my absolute highlight. Like, all those moments, they were just it for me. I wish that they would show the boys in their life a little less and more of them, because even their scenes together, like the one you're describing where they're making fun of them, that was giving way more. I wish I, like, by the end, there's a point, she spells it out and says she really did think she was the one doing that stuff, but I wish we saw more of her doubt also headed there, because her seeming obliviousness was also frustrating me, like, oh, but I don't know. It was, yeah, I really, so that was really my results of the film. I just wished for more. The violence tortured me. Yeah, so my overall is I really did not like this movie. And I was sad to not, because I came in anticipating and very eager to like it. Yeah, but it just didn't turn. And of course, on the big screen, it's even more glamorous, you know? Like, oh, so much. But you're seeing that death 10 times closer. No. Yeah, so it was quite frustrating. I wonder if I had watched it from home, if I would have continued. I think I may have stopped at some point. But here I was stuck and I'd gone with someone and they didn't want to bail. So I had to also stay. So yeah, I felt like a hostage. So my experience with this is a full no. I had a horrible experience with The Zone of Interest, but it was intriguing for me. This one was entirely frustrating for me.
I think I can definitely give you the thing with Lily Gladstone's character being a bit passive. That's something I also felt as I watched the film, and even not to like rain on her parade, but like I didn't think like the outside of course maybe the diversity thing. I wasn't like, I mean also I mean the lineup was pretty maybe shallow, but like I didn't think it was like, oh, this great, you know, Oscar worthy, like Oscar winning performance. Basically, I thought it was okay, because again, she didn't probably have that much to work with. But again, just to point on some things you said, like, I mean, I think if the movie made you feel something, then I think it succeeded, because it would be way worse if these deaths were happening to these people and you just didn't feel anything, which is usually the way they go about like deaths of like Native Americans in movies. Like they are basically like they've built them up well enough to the point that if they something bad happens to them, you actually feel bad and you feel the loss. So like again, I probably get how it probably affected you and your frustration, but yeah, I don't think that was necessarily a bad thing.
But Tim, like, do you know that feeling?
Like,
when
I don't think that's a bad thing.
I think there's a distinguished feeling between when you're feeling it because the movie is moving you, but there's when you're watching something and it's bad and you remove yourself from the feeling of it, and then you start being like, why did the filmmaker do this? So my feeling wasn't like, oh, like it was like I was more annoyed with the fact that the film had it in. More was I like, oh, I was more, because, I don't, I because, wasn't, it wasn't, I would feel bad about any death, even in the worst film anywhere. Yeah. But
no, because I feel that's the purpose of it. Like he's trying to show that there's this, so, again, on the aspect of like the women not being so central to it is because.
But what you sound like you're saying is the fact that I hate the film means it worked. Which I don't think is really the same in comparison.
No, in a way, I would say that is probably true, because I think it did affect you on an emotional level. Whether it was too much, like that's again up for debate.
I came out feeling like the film was morally wrong. Like I didn't come out feeling like, oh, like I felt like
morally wrong.
Yeah, like it was not an emotional pain. It was that thing I was saying. Like I was just like. I was not treating it that it wasn't feeling me emotionally repelled. I felt like morally it did the wrong thing.
Like they were not supposed to kill the women.
I feel like they shouldn't have killed that many people that brutally on the screen like that. Like that was too much. No, that's what I felt.
No, but that's kind of, I think they were just trying to show like the scale of it. Because if it's like a situation where it's like,
I think it's like the similar to 12 Years a Slave. To some point, the violence is porny. It came off porny for me as well. It's more like the 12 Years a Slave argument for me.
I mean, I disagree with that. I actually think that the violence, I think, was just to actually show the scale and like the, because again, as we said, these were matrilineal societies. So the scale on which it was happening to all these women, and yes, it was very many women, and sometimes even their husbands were there. I think it was kind of to show the scale of it. I think, and again, as we were saying, this is all based on very real stuff that happened. So I think it's not like Scorsese was like, you know what, we're just going to put extra murders like for it to be like extra violence.
No, Tim, I get that. And it's the same with Holocaust films. It's the same with slave trade films. all those apprehensible things happen. But I think there needs to be a lot more thought when the kind of, like, the depiction of the violence of the people themselves in that kind of manner to a point, like, to a point that in that, especially with how much Scorsese does his films, they are so glamorously shot. So showing that much violence, that so glamorously, of people who have already constantly living through that kind of violence, I think, like, I prefer films personally. I think many people are usually fine with seeing whatever kind of violence. This is just a me thing. For me, my preference is really when people do have better tricks. Even I prefer what Steve McQueen did when he did Small Axe. He had a scene where there was a lot of police violence, but he literally removed the camera. And that is so different from what he did in 12 Years a Slave, which was brutality, brutality, brutality. So I will always pick the other one for me.
There are many ways to tell a story.
Yes, but I prefer the other way. One thing
I don't agree with is, like, this thing of over-sanitizing things, like, just because, like, it's too much. Like, sometimes things really are, like, that much. And sometimes I feel like with film, like, I think that's why, like, I feel like some of the best films I've seen are the ones that really, like, confront, you know, the darkest things about humanity head on and, like, don't shy away from it. And, like, those are the films I think that sometimes stick with me and I end up thinking about them more than, you know, something that kind of is in a way sometimes too subtle that sometimes things just go over your head. But I kind of feel like, I just feel that maybe the criticism of it being, like, too violent or too, like, too violence, like, the violence porn situation, I think
there's a, like, a three deaths
criticism.
There's, I find it more, like, I feel like I would have gotten the point on death 2, 3. I didn't need 7 more. So when you do 7 more, you're repeating the same motif. A point I've already gotten, which is something we criticize so many people for repeating the same point over and over and over again. At some point, it's pointless and annoying. And now I'm like, why? You know? Why? Like, then it's just, what's the point?
No, then maybe you just went in expecting a different film, I think.
No, I didn't. That's the thing. What do you mean I came expecting? By the time I reached the sixth death, I was frustrated. So that is a feeling I had in real time. What do you mean by expectation?
No, I mean, for 3 hours, I just don't see why you should, like, dumb down if there's multiple deaths in the book or the source material.
I'm dead, Tim. You can change. Anyway, fine. We feel differently. You're like, now the book said so, he should have done. See how far you've gone, bro.
Yeah,
really.
No, like, the actual thing, if you actually look at the story, so, like, the original way it happened,
that means, like, you're saying it needs to be actual depiction for everything, no matter what, without any, like, what kind of reasoning is that?
No, like, even the people he showed could be less than the ones who actually died. Like, you could find it was so on a much in your, bigger scale,
so your defense
brought it down. That's the thing. We were like, no, we should only show 2. Like, you probably already, like,
Tim, you're doing that. You're making my reasoning sound ridiculous for no reason, really. I just told you, when I'm watching, now you're like, the book had this, what if that? No, just take my info as is and respond to it as is. Like, you're taking it to this place of, I told you it reached death 3. It felt enough for me. He went further and I didn't like it. Now for your response to be, but the book said that, it was that, it's just how I felt and that's it. You didn't feel that way.
Okay.
Vibes. But you're responding to me with speculation instead of responding to what I've told you.
Which speculation?
As in speculation of how many murders were in the book. How many murders were in the book versus the film. That's speculation.
Guys, we're literally just arguing preferences. What I would add that's maybe somewhere in the middle of you two and your long conversation would be that I think I personally viewed the amount of murders and the borderline absurdity with which they were happening without convictions, because it's like a murder where this guy, like, literally walks out of the house and, like, shoots the wife in broad daylight and takes a baby out of the carriage and walks back inside, and there's no trial for that. I think that was, like, one of the things that was in a montage at the beginning of the movie. So my interpretation of what Scorsese was doing was he was depicting almost how blatant the murders were, Because like Tim also said, the volume of the murders in real life probably and definitely eclipses what we saw in the film. But I think what he probably intended with also showing it as violently as it was, and like this crescendo of like blowing up that whole house with like the sister in it. Like for the murders to be that blatant for so long and for the government to do nothing, I took it as he was pointing to how absurd this entire situation was. That people could just get away with murders that were not even smart murders in any way. They're not like smart crimes. But because these people were viewed as less than or subhuman, the government wasn't necessarily in a hurry to get them justice. So that's how I chose to view it. Otherwise, we respect all of each other's preferences.
I also kind of, just to add on to that, like, yeah, with the death of, like, all those people, again, it's just that, again, on these, like, reservations, like, I think they are basically, like, self-governing entities. Like, even the government doesn't, like, interfere with what's happening in those, like, spaces for those Native Americans. They kind of have their own. So, like, it's kind of, I think he was kind of showing the impunity of, like, what was happening there before, like, the FBI and these guys actually stepped in to be, like, yo, what's happening here? We're investigating this. So I think also that is something maybe that, again, why it took so long was that it really was perhaps like that, that people were just having, there was that impunity happening in these spaces. And because it was, like, the U.S. at that time, people couldn't, like, you know, the law couldn't reach everywhere maybe, so... Yeah, that's just, I was just adding that basically.
Do you guys have any more thoughts? Because I don't. We have 5 minutes. We could use two and then close in the three.
Not really. I think we've pretty much said everything and more what we wanted to say, so.
Okay. Joel, your long silence didn't have things you wanted to say?
Not necessarily, but I could just say, as a very long time fan of Scorsese's movies, I actually skipped The Irishman, by the way. I think I was all gangstered out for like a bit, so it's one of those movies I'm eventually going to circle around back to, but I feel like as far as like his modern films are concerned, I think the one that I enjoyed the most in like recent times was like The Wolf of Wall Street. Otherwise, so far, I forget that Christian movie that he did, where there was that...
Silence.
Yeah. With that. That's the one with like the missionary. I didn't really feel that one as much, but I could not argue with how the technicals are impeccable as always. So he's still like a very strong filmmaker. He's been making movies since like 1966. So I am just amazed he still has the energy to direct, and I'm happy to see more of him. So I'll say this movie is one of his films that I've enjoyed quite a bit in like a long time, but it didn't have so much to do with you know, Scorsese is going to be strong. I always like almost take it for granted at this point, but for me it was my introduction to Molly's actress. Like her presence and her performance was just so strong, and she really made the movie for me in surprising ways, because I was like, Leo is Leo-ing as he usually does, De Niro is De Niro-ing. It's like I've seen all those things several times over.
Okay,
let's close then. All right, this has been our episode on Killers of the Flower Moon.
Killers of the Flower Moon and Zone of Interest. Oh, there's going to be two.
Oh, Killers of the Flower Moon and the Zone of Interest. I'm Sharon.
I'm Timothy.
And I'm Joel.
Thank you for listening.
People make films about themselves. What they want. What they love. What they fear most. Here we're nothing but props and their stories.
También say.